was good. John chapter 8 is where we find our text today. Happy 4th of July, and it's a wonderful country we live in. It has its concerns, and it's an uphill battle nowadays. But we know that societies do not move towards God. They move away from God. And even though they may be going that direction, you and I should still love our country and do what we can for it. Amen. Amen. Now, you see up here what makes us free and understanding the relationship of personal and political freedom. I believe that many of us as Christians have lost the understanding of what America and Christianity is. The truth about it is we're not great because we're a melting pot. We're not great because of different things. I was recently reading a book about Henry Ford and how he had hired all these different people. And he hired a lot of immigrants. We're having a big immigrant discussion in America, but he hired immigrants. And here's some of the differences back then. He needed people. It's when the assembly lines first started in Detroit. And he hired people left and right. And here's the requirements. If he hired you and you did not know English, you would have to go to English classes after work. And then they would have a graduation ceremony, and you would come forward, and Henry Ford was there, and he oversaw that. And he loved the idea of many people from many different parts of the world coming and being a part of the American dream. But one of the symbols that they had in the graduation ceremonies that Henry Ford and his people oversaw was, honestly, they had a big cauldron up on the stage. And they would introduce the graduates that were Italian. And then after the Italians came by and they all graduated from their English class, they would symbolically pour something into the cauldron, and that would have been all the Italians. And then one Italian man would stand there with a spoon around this cauldron, and he would mix it. Then they would do all of the Greeks that came, all the ones that came from different parts of the world. And symbolically, Henry Ford let them know, you've now learned English, you are melting into America, the melting pot idea, we are Americans now. Wow, that's a far cry from how we deal with immigration today. That wasn't even the government, that was Henry Ford. You and I live in a wonderful country, a country that I hope that you pray for. Before we go on, and as you're there in John chapter 8, let me say that this evening is camp night. I hope one thing that bothers me about holidays being on Sundays is many people pick the holidays over the house of God. I hope you're not one of those. I hope the fireworks isn't more important than the house of God to you. You may have made other plans, but you need to change them, and you need to be here at 6 o'clock to support your young people who have given a week at camp. And if you do that, I promise we'll try to be out within an hour. And if 1 hour at church ruins your 4th of July, then we'll have an invitation at the end of the service, and you ought to be down here. But you need to support our young people. And you say, well, they're young people, and they won't miss anything. No, let me tell you something. I would rather you support them than anybody else. You know, if you don't want to support me, that's fine. You support the young people in this church. And we'll try to be out within an hour. I do know it's a holiday, and I say that because I love America, and I do want to celebrate 4th of July. And we as Americans ought to be able to do so, but our priorities as Christians is God and God first. And we will focus on that at this time. God bless America, land that I love. July 3rd, 1776. John Adams, who had been a part of the American dream and the American Revolution from the very beginning, John Adams, when he knew that they were signing and they really passed the declaration and they've decided to sign it on July 3rd, believe it or not. It wasn't July 4th. But they decided that this was the draft, this was the approval, and they voted. Many of the men went home to different places. I'm fading in and out for some reason. I don't know if it's my mic, my battery, or something. All right, if that's so, just turn this mic on. And so they came up with a final copy, and July 4th, people began signing it. Contrary to belief in the pictures, not everybody signed it on July 4th. In fact, John Adams noted that they had pretty well hammered out most of it on July 2nd of the Declaration of Independence, and most of the discussions have been over with. John Adams really wanted July 2nd to be an Independence Day. You find this statement from John Adams on the board, and it says this. It says, the second day of July, 1776, which we now know to be the fourth day of July, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. Here's what he said. This is kind of insightful and futuristic. He said, I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. That's us. We're the succeeding generations, and we are to celebrate it. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. Do you see how he says we are to celebrate? There's no mention yet of all the other stuff that goes on. And then he goes on and he says, it ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns. I like that. Underline guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations. Now, what he meant by illuminations is not what most people mean by illuminations. Now, he's talking about fireworks. From one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward, forever. If John Adams had his way, we would begin every Independence Day by getting up and going to the house of God, and first order of the day would be to give acts of devotion to God Almighty. After all, he is the primary one that we ought to thank for our liberties. We ought to get it in the habit of calling it Independence Day instead of the 4th of July. But liberty does not come from government. Liberty, as it was mentioned in the Declaration, and freedom ultimately come from God. There is personal liberty. There is political liberty. But you will find that you can have personal liberty without political liberty. And you can have political liberty, but political liberty cannot be ascertained without an understanding of personal liberty. I go now to the son of John Adams, who made this statement 45 years later. Both of these were very pious men, very well versed in the Bible. And the son of John Adams, John Quincy Adams, 45 years later, said on July 4th this. The highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It has connected in an indissoluble bond with the principles of civil government, with the principles of Christianity. The American Revolution was what? About taking the ideals of government for man and the principles of Christianity, and for the first time, they were merged into a country. A few years ago, there was a preacher that preached a message called The Top Five Lies of the 20th Century, and he said that one of those lies is that America was never a Christian nation. I wouldn't be a bit surprised, and this is a strong statement coming from the pulpit. Our president has said this. He has declared that America is not a Christian nation, and I wouldn't be surprised if he goes on an apology tour apologizing for our Christian roots. The phrase separation of church and state has been used and abused until the correct interpretation of it is known by few people and hardly ever given the correct context in education. Our schools have revised history in such a way that you could go through school without knowing there were even different kinds of Christianity, but America had Christian roots. Prayers are now out of schools, becomes an object of court battles. 10 commandments have been removed, lest some student might actually sit in class and ponder the idea that maybe they shouldn't steal, maybe they shouldn't kill. Heaven forbid we have children that think that way. Public addresses must not include reference to God anymore, lest someone be offended. Even if you do say God, you have to be generic about it. And how dare you in public end the prayer within Jesus' name? That's very exclusive. That's not inclusive. John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. Here's what he said. As America was forging its three branches of government, the first Supreme Court justice sat on the bench, and he said this: Providence has, that's God, has given to our people the choice of their rulers. And it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. The Chief Justice told New Yorkers one time as he addressed the city of New York, in one address, he told them that out of everything they needed to do as a city of New Yorkers, 33 times he told them, you must have faith in God. 33 times, more than your average Baptist preacher today would say such a thing. The first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States, John Jay. Many people won't ever know this because it won't be in the history books. Do you know that he was the president of the American Bible Society? You know what the goal of the American Bible Society was? To have a Bible in the hands of every person in America. The first Supreme Court Justice of the United States headed up that. Wow. Well, we don't have a Christian nation, do we? This man, Joseph Story, was a congressman from 1808 to 1809. He was appointed to the Supreme Court in 1811 at the age of 32 by President James Madison, the one that wrote the Constitution of the United States. From 1829 to 1845, he was a Supreme Court judge, and he taught at Harvard at the same time. His classes sometimes ran up to 156 students per classroom. He is the most written authority on the Constitution, and he wrote the first commentaries elaborating on the Constitution. This man influenced many in early America, and here's what he said. He said, there has never been a period of history in which the common law did not recognize Christianity as lying as its foundation. It yet remains a problem to be solved in human affairs whether any free government can be permanent, where the public worship of God and the support of religion constitute no part or policy or duty of the state in any assignable shape. He goes on to say, the real object of the First Amendment was not to countenance, much less advance Mohammedanism or Judaism or infidelity by prostrating Christianity. Don't you ever say that in today's Muslim-friendly America. Let me read that again. The object of the First Amendment, where we get our freedom of religion, according to a Supreme Court judge of the United States of America, he said it was not put in under our Constitution, not to countenance, much less advance Mohammedism or Judaism or infidelity or by prostrating Christianity, but to exclude all rivalry among Christian sects and to prevent any national ecclesiastical patronage of the national government. In other words, the First Amendment was written so that Christian religions could thrive, not Mohammedism, not even Judaism, but Christianity. There is not a truth to be gathered from history more certain or more momentous than this, that civil liberty cannot be long separated from religious liberty without danger. Do you hear that? Civil liberty cannot be separated from religious liberty without danger. And ultimately, without destruction to both. Wherever religious history exists, it will first or last bring in an established political liberty. So I ask you the question, what makes us free? Is it because we've declared ourselves free? There's very few countries or empires in history or around the world today where the people that started that country declared themselves free. We did. But is that what makes us free? Is it because that we as Americans truly understand freedom? Maybe we're better thinkers. What do you think? Maybe it is our IQ was a little bit better. Maybe it is because of our genetic melting pot of all the countries in the world that has made us a little bit more. Maybe if our experiences that our immigrants brought here as the founders, maybe we understood the need for freedom as they got on the boats and said, I want this to be behind. Maybe that understanding brought around freedom. Is it because we are a superior nation After all, everything we have, the world wants. When we lived in Mexico, it amazed me how often you would see people with American products. You'd be far away. You'd be in villages where they just got electricity. And there would be people sporting clothes with American brands on them, American things on their T-shirt, all desiring to have appliances and utensils and all the things. You would walk into straw huts with dirt floors. And you know what you would see lining on the walls? You would see American newspapers on the walls of these huts. I honestly believe that as I've traveled, and I've not gone around the world, we have some people that have been in more places. You got to admit, there's no place like America. Something about coming back home. Something about this country. Something about the way we do things. Something about our cars, our houses, our families, our holidays. Something about this country that I think makes us stand out. Is it because of our economic wealth and prosperity? The poorest people live in America live better than your average people in many countries in the world. Amazes me how many people are on welfare, how many people are on unemployment, but yet they can afford the iPods and they can afford all these other things, whereas in another country they are just hoping that they might be able to have new clothes this year. John chapter 8, verse 31, let me tell you what really makes us free. According to the Bible, here's what Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 31. There are three things that make us free. Number one, says, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And verse 32, and ye shall know the truth. If you notice, there's an order here, and I want you to follow that order real quick. Like, number one, these were Jews that believed on him. You have to believe on Jesus Christ. I said you have to believe on Jesus Christ. This is something that we Americans are privileged, not only to be raised in a free country, but have the freedom to believe in the very Son of God. If you believe on me, he says, you continue in my word. You continue in my word. It already presupposes that you've already accepted his word. You're not questioning, well, I don't believe this is God's word or not. You've already accepted his word. The issue is, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, the issue is, are you going to continue in it? The word continue literally means to hands-on, investigate, and make it a part of your daily life. You will live according to the word of God. If you believe in me and you live according to my word, at the end of verse 31, then you are what? Come on, wake up. You are what? You're my disciples. You are those that are identified with me. Verse 32. And if you're in my word, guess what? You shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Freedom doesn't come because of our prosperity. Freedom doesn't come through the economy. Freedom does not come by health care programs, nor does it come by political meandering. Freedom doesn't come in filibustering. Freedom doesn't come in unemployment or employment. Freedom comes when people recognize the truth. The Bible, the Word of God, is the source of all truth. If, according to this verse, if the Bible is the truth and the truth shall make you free, then you have to understand something. Listen to me. The opposite is just as true. If truth makes you free, listen, then lies make you a slave. Deception becomes slavery. Freedom comes. Don't you wish, let me ask you a really blunt question here, don't you wish the people in office, our national leaders, and our nation understood this? Where do we get truth today? Let's call up a university professor. Let's call up this person. Let's call up this. And they will determine what is truth. When the leader of America publicly endorses the Gay Pride Lesbian Homosexual Day and talks about the great strides we have made in America in that area that is an abomination to God, he is ignoring the truth that belongs to God, and he's endorsing a lie. And you listen to me, those lies will enslave you and I as citizens of this country. Freedom doesn't come from being American. Freedom doesn't come from being a Republican or attending a Tea Party. Freedom comes when someone stands up and has the backbone to tell the truth, and the truth will align with the Word of God. That is when America will find its freedom that it used to have. See, read the founding words of our founding fathers, those that helped make the laws of America, those that forged out the Constitution, the discussions of the Continental Congress, the voting that brought it all in, the local things that happened in Virginia and Maryland as we were putting things together, as the Supreme Court decided that this is going to be the structure, as they talked about the two sides of Congress, as we hammered these things out, these were men that kept looking to the Word of God and kept understanding the Bible and kept holding to the precepts and the principles that you find in the Word of God. And those principles, those precepts are so intertwined in the very fiber of our nation from the very beginning that you and I couldn't help but succeed. America couldn't help but grow and be great. It isn't because we were hardworking, good farmers, innovative. It is because the very foundation of our nation was built on the truth of the Word of God. And that freedom just opened us up to be able to engage in great prosperity because it comes from the freedom of God's Word. Man, do you have that? Do you understand that? See, the Bible is a part of American history. I don't have time to tell you, but from 1492, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue, the very discovery of America, he quoted Bible. The state of Delaware, are you aware? Its whole statement is almost nothing but Bible. The U.S. Congress is part and based upon principles in Bible. Noah Webster, John Quincy Adams, Daniel Webster, even Ulysses S. Grant quoted Bible in every speech he ever spoke. Do you hear me? The President of the United States did not have a public speech where he did not quote the Word of God. Whoa, what a day it was. President Rutherford Hayes, Warren Harding, Woodrow Wilson, Harry Truman, even Ronald Reagan. What I wouldn't give to have a president again that would engage in the Word of God. Truth that makes us free. Go down a little further in John chapter 8, if you would. John chapter 8, verse 36. Jesus said, if you believe on him, it was his word, and not only in his word, but in verse 36. Let's find it again. If the Son therefore shall make ye free, ye shall be free indeed. There's a lot of people that think they're free. I do. You know, even in religious circles, there's people that call themselves free. I know Baptists that says, well, we're independent, we do what we want. Then they get a statement from their cooperative or their association, what telling them how they believe in what they are and what their overall statement is. And they say they're free, but they keep constantly being told what to do. I think it's funny how everyone interprets the idea of being independent and being free. You know, I do what I want. I'm free. I'm independent. You know that. As long as she agrees with it. Then I'm free to do it. See, verse 34 stands in contrast with personal freedom. Verse 34, look at verse 34. Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is what? The servant of sin." There's no freedom in servanthood. You serve sin. You serve sin how? How long? Longer than you thought. How much? Much more than you thought. Sin will take you. It'll keep you. And it'll cost you. You think you can conquer sin. Sin will enslave you. It'll bind you. It'll scar you. It'll beat you down. A sinful life is that kind of life of slavery. But, verse 36, the Son will make you free. As you drive into Hamilton Avenue, as you drive into Mount Healthy, that wonderful, right before you get to the ghetto mart in front of Rinks. That's all it is. And in fact, I tried to stop there for a pair of pants once, and they wouldn't sell them to me because I kept wanting to pull them by my waist. But yeah. Keep them off the ground. But anyway, there's a new sign up there, a big billboard. Y'all go that way. Look at it. It's good. It says this. It says, abortion kills more African-American babies than anything else in the world. What amazes me is there are certain groups in America that keep saying, we want freedom. And to them, their ideal of freedom is to be able to live out a low-level life. They're free. Free to live. We want equality. We're free. We're free to live. But let me tell you something. As a group, it's not freedom. It's enslavement. It's a whole different form of enslavement. There are more children born out of wedlock. There's more murders. There's more death. They're more in prison. And there's more babies being killed. You've got your freedom, and your freedom was totally void of God, even though there might be a religious overtone. And let me tell you something. You're not free. You're more enslaved than you were before. And it's an eternal enslavement. I believe that homosexuality, and as long as we have an administration that endorses it, and even people in Congress that practice it, I believe that we are becoming a nation of slavery. You're going to, some of you say, well, you're just preaching, you're just carrying on. No, if you believe that, verse 34, then you're not going to think that way. Jesus said, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. We have people that are making laws that are enslaved and serving not just themselves, they're serving sin. I want you to look at the end of the chapter. Look at the last verse of chapter 8. And they took up stones to cast at him. Why? If someone just told you, hey, I can make you free. The Son can make you free. If you know the word, you're free indeed. You know, it will set you free. You're in bondage, and the Jews were in bondage. They were in bondage to Rome. They were in bondage to just a lot of things. And he said, you know, you can cast off the bonds of your slavery. You can cast off the bonds of everything. I can make you free. And look at the response of the religious people of the day. They wanted to kill him for having a message of freedom. So it is today. So it is today. But I tell you, are you aware that Jesus was mentioned in history in America? Samuel Adams, Sir William Blackstone, if you don't know him, he's a big part of American laws. Alexander Hamilton, the financier of got the economy of the United States on track. Patrick Henry, that great lawyer. Richard Henry Lee, General William Livingston, Charles Cotesworthy Pinckney. These were men that headed up armies, that whenever they stood before their armies and when they stood before their hundreds of men, guess what they talked about? They talked about Jesus. Benjamin Rush, I love that guy. Roger Sherman, Daniel Webster, they talked about Jesus. I want to give you one last one, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I showed you where Jesus said, His word will set you free, the Son will set you free. And now in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Isn't that great? I tell you something. We preachers have a terminology we use. Dad will go somewhere and preach. And I'll say, how was it? How'd it go? He would say, I had great liberty. I had great liberty. Jason Self spoke at camp. You've been proud of our young men. We had our young men speak at camp this week. Some of the men have surrendered to preach, and you would be very proud at the job that they did and the truths they preached. They represented Southland Missionary Baptist Church very good. And I asked Jason, spoke for us Thursday, I said, did you have freedom? Did you have liberty? See, there is an automatic understanding there, because if the Spirit is there, there is freedom. There is nothing better than be in a church service where there is freedom to preach the Word of God. And you know why there's freedom to preach the Word of God? Because there are people sitting in the audience that have allowed themselves, they have opened themselves for the Holy Spirit to have freedom in their lives. And while I'm preaching and the Word of God goes out, the Holy Spirit moves in and out among the people, and He reaches down and He touches and He convicts and He heals and He does all the things that only He can do. And if the Spirit is there, there's liberty. Verse 16, look at the previous verse to that. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. When a person shall turn to the Lord, the veil, the idea of that which is hidden will be removed. Why? Because, listen to me, without the Holy Spirit, there is not any enlightenment. Your understanding comes from the Holy Spirit. You know, you never understood. You would have never understood you were lost and you were a sinner in the reality of hell if the Holy Spirit hadn't worked with you and told you that. As you and I open the Bible and as you and I investigate the truth and the sayings of God, you listen to me, you would never understand those things if the Holy Spirit wasn't working and giving you that understanding. As you make decisions in your life and as you're a father and a mother and as you're an employer or an employee and you make decisions in your life and you ask God for that wisdom, you would have never had that wisdom if the Holy Spirit hadn't moved in and given you an understanding of the situation to allow you to make that good decision. Wow. See, if ignorance is enslaving, verse 16, then when the Spirit comes in, that ignorance is being lifted off. You could put it this way. Excuse me for sounding a little charismatic, maybe, but the Spirit is enlightening. The Spirit is that light bulb that makes things clear. The Spirit. Now, what I'm telling you is when you put these three things together, you really have a great combination. Believe it or not, the Holy Spirit used to even be referred to in America. Yes, believe it or not, even the Holy Spirit was referred to in America. Christopher Columbus referred to the Holy Spirit. The Continental Congress referred to the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Continental Congress prayed that God would make sure his spirit was alive and well in their discussions so that they could know how to best form this government. See, our Continental Congress, these men understood something. They may not all have been in a theological bent. They may have all had their own agendas theologically and been part of churches that had a lot of things wrong. But here's one thing, and you mark it down in your mind. These men knew that they were on the cusp of a first-time event in world history. Never in world history did a group of people get to sit down and in an open forum decide how they're going to run their country. You don't have it anywhere else in history. In every forum, it was a conquering, it was an establishment, and people revolted or someone. You don't have anywhere in history where everyone sat down one day and said, okay, erase the blackboard. We get to start from scratch. We don't have to take England. We don't have to take France. We don't have to take England, France, underpants. Isn't that a poem? We don't have to take anybody's model anywhere. And so these men said, well, what model do we take? Believe it or not, they said, you know what? God's a judge. Hear me? God's a king. And God's the executor. They found that in the book of Isaiah. And they said, you know what? If that's the nature of God, let's come up with a judging branch. Let's come up with an executive branch, and let's come up with a legislative branch. Are you aware that the three lines of our government come from Isaiah and the very nature of God? Wouldn't it have been great to have been a part of those meetings and say, hey, let's get our Bibles out, and let's see how we can make this country what God wants it to be. Wow. They're just a bunch of dumb hicks, didn't know how to live. Let me tell you something. Robert E. Lee often referred to the Holy Spirit. Benjamin Russ, John Adams, these men actually publicly spoke and wrote of the Holy Spirit in the life of America. If you have these three things, if you have the Word of God, you have the Son of God, and you have the Spirit of God, you have all it takes for us to be great. You know what? Let me put it this way. You want to do something? You want to do something in your life? All it takes is the Word of God, the Son of God, and the Spirit of God. Hey guys, you want your home, you want your family to do something great for God? You want them to be able to free to serve God? Hey, all it takes is the Word of God, the Son of God, and the Spirit of God. You want Southland Missionary Baptist Church to be the kind of church that can stand tall and have an impact for the souls and children and just do something for God? All it's going to take is the Word of God. All it's going to take, freedom of the Word of God, freedom for the Son of God, and freedom from the Spirit of God. This idea of separation in church and state, I come to a close. Read this with me. Just this top part. In order to ensure citizens freedom of conscience. Now, that's what we want. We believe in freedom of conscience, don't we? We believe in America, freedom of conscience. We fought for freedom of conscience. It's a Baptist distinctive. We believe in freedom of conscience. The church in the U.S. is separated from the state and the school from the church. It says, if you want freedom of conscience, then you have to keep the church separated from the state and the school from the church. You can't have anybody teaching kids about religion. You can't have any kind of religion in the state. If you do that, then you don't have freedom of conscience. People cannot make religious decisions if you ingrain it into government and education. You know who said this? This is in the Constitution of the United Soviet Socialist Republic. Those two little spots I left up there are USSR. Hold it, what are you saying? The USSR in 1922 made a statement that religion must be separated from government and school
so that we can have freedom of conscience. Hold it. We've adopted this. We have adopted the philosophy of the Soviet Republic. You know what's missing in this program? They want freedom of conscience. But you can't have freedom if you don't have the Word of God. You can't have freedom if you don't have the Son of God. And you don't have freedom if the Spirit of God isn't allowed to work. They think they know freedom. But my Bible says that sin is enslaving. Here's the point. Liberty. Freedom rings. The Scriptures will set you free. The Son will set you free. The Spirit will set you free. But without these, there is no freedom. Far be it from you and I, as Americans that call ourselves followers of Christ, to go out and watch the fireworks and applaud and pledge the flag. And I'm all for that, believe me. I'm going to do it. I'm with it. I have red, white, and blue shirts. I forgot today to wear my red, white, and blue tie. I apologize. But I have all those things. And yes, I'm one of those. I'm a flag-waving American. I'm happy about it. I'll put it up anywhere. It's not a problem with me. Let me tell you something, though. I'm seeing our country being enslaved more and more every day. I'm watching people in their lives, and as I go through, cut through Northbrook, I'm seeing homes and broken homes. And at camp, we had a testimony time where many got up and said, my home's broken apart. I'm living with grandparents, and I don't know what it's like to have a father, where children are being enslaved by the sins of this society. I know this. I know this more than your average person in America because they don't read their Bible. I know this, that they can talk about freedom and they can watch the fireworks. But as I watch the fireworks, I'm happy. But my heart knows that without the Word of God, without the Son of God, without the Holy Spirit in a day it convicted me and works in my life, I might be watching the fireworks of the greatest country in the world, but I would still be enslaved to sin, and I'd have no hope. You want to preach freedom. You want to stand tall as an American when you have the message of freedom and you don't even share it. You wear your American flag, but heaven forbid you wear your Christian flag and introduce people to true freedom. John Adams said, let's commemorate this day as a day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. And I think you and I need to follow John Adams' advice. You and I need to recognize this day as a day of deliverance. Do you hear that? A day of deliverance. Not just from England. It's a day of deliverance. The day that my Savior delivered my soul from the penalty of sin. And all the freedom that I enjoy, it is because of my Savior. You and I would be better off to have known the freedom that comes from the Scriptures, the freedom that comes from our relationship with the Son of God, the freedom that comes by letting the Spirit work. You and I would be better off to know that freedom behind the Iron Curtain in the deepest of the Muslim pit. You'd be better off to know that than to stand under the fireworks of this wonderful country, the 4th of July, and not know the freedom that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. That freedom is what I want to celebrate above all. That day of deliverance is the one I ought to shout about. Have you experienced that? Do you know true freedom? Are you enslaved by sin? Have you been enslaved by sin? You know, we Christians, sometimes we step back into that enslavement. Sometimes we've been set free, but sometimes we make our way back out to the fields, and under the burden of the master of this world, we allow him to whip us down the rows and pick and to work, when you and I should be able to stand tall because we're set free. Maybe you're here today and you've allowed sin to handcuff you in your spiritual life. If you're here today and you don't have a day of deliverance, let me tell you something. Your church isn't what's going to make you great. Your economy, your offerings, none of those things make you great. It all really is the Son of God, the Scriptures, and the Spirit. The Word of God says you must accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you must accept him when the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin. Please let him have the freedom today so that you can honestly say that this 4th of July was truly a day of deliverance. Let's stand.